This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Politics, culture, chaos. It's time to make sense of it all. It's time to have a little fun. This is your afternoon dose of sanity. This is the Rich Zeoli Podcast.
You know, they say the best things in life are free. Well, remember, this podcast is free, even though it's coming to you today late because of a variety of technical issues. Like, I literally have to redo the entire thing. But that's the magic of broadcasting, is it not? How about a mask on the southern border? That sound good to you? Sounds good to me. What do you think? All right, welcome to my afternoon podcast. Again, sorry it is late. It was not my fault. Had to do an entire system upgrade, firmware reboot of my my home studio equipment. So that was fun. That was a real hoot, but at least I got it out of the way. I still have to worry about it now. Good news, if you are a member of the House of Representatives, you now have to wear a mask again on the floor of the House. Why? Because the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, requires it. She insists on it. You don't want to go against what Pelosi says, that's for sure. Now, does this matter to your life? No, it doesn't. But I do want you to think about something that Congressman Chip Roy from Texas said today regarding that. But this is what Pelosi had to say today. Take a little bit of a listen here.
The chair will take this occasion to update her announced policies of January 4th, 2021 regarding the requirement to wear masks in the hall of the House during the coronavirus crisis. Consistent with the newly updated guidance from the Office of the Attending Physician related to the increased threat from the Delta variant of the virus,
physician, by the way.
The chair wishes to inform all members and staff that masks will once again be required in the hall of the House. However, members will be permitted to remove their masks temporarily while under recognition.
What about for
to be clear, members and staff must wear masks in the hall of the House at all times except when a member may remove his or her mask when recognized by the chair. In addition, members presiding as chair may remove their masks.
What about for if there's an intern?
This announcement is incorporated within the policy of conduct during a covered period of January 4th, 2021, and supersedes any other announced policy that is in conflict.
Well, wait.
The sergeant-at-arms is directed to enforce mask requirements.
The who?
Consistent with this announcement.
Sergeant?
Members are reminded that under House Resolution 38, the sergeant-at-arms is authorized and directed to impose a
The sergeant-at-arms. Wait a second. I thought that if you brought up the sergeant-at-arms in relation to January 6th and what Pelosi may have known or not known and ordered or not ordered with regards to security of the Capitol, that was a terrible, terrible thing to say. But I guess my question is, and this is the question I've got to ask, doesn't the sergeant-at-arms have all kinds of powers? I mean, apparently the sergeant-at-arms has all kinds of powers. So isn't it a legitimate question to ask the question of, I don't know, was the sergeant-at-arms the one who turned down additional reinforcements that day? Was the sergeant-at-arms not in consultation before January 6th about what was going to happen? I'm not trying to excuse January 6th, but these are legitimate questions that say, like Congressman Steve Scalise was trying to get to. Congressman Steve Scalise was trying to ask those very questions regarding the January 6th incident. Like, what did Pelosi know, and why did they not listen to the intelligence? Why were they not more proactive about what could have occurred on January 6th? Why was the National Guard turned away? All of those questions, which they can't ask, of course, because it's a sham committee. This is what Representative Chip Roy of Texas said today on the floor of the House. This is pretty fascinating. Take a listen to this.
Speaker, I appreciate what my colleague earlier offered as the previous question with respect to Title 42, because what we're seeing at the border is...
Uh-oh, what'd I do here? Sorry, play that again. Play that again. Sorry. This is what happens when you are just an amateur like me trying to do a good professional podcast for you, but you wind up messing it up. That's okay. Go ahead, Chip.
People spilling across the border who are clearly testing positive for COVID. We have a hotel in La Jolla, Texas, that is literally filled right now with individuals who are heavily testing positive for COVID. These are the facts on the ground. And I know my friend, the speaker, knows how bad it is at the border, knows how bad it is in Laredo, knows how bad it is in Del Rio, knows how bad it is in McAllen. I've got a text here from a sheriff in a small Texas town saying, we're passing an emergency declaration tonight at city council that no illegal immigrants can be released in the city of Uvalde per the CDC guidelines of countries on their list without a negative COVID test, and we have had our health authority write orders that give us the authority to have them government, border patrol, and immigrant quarantine for 10 to 14 days. We have a crisis at our border, and we're playing footsie with mask mandates in the people's house.
I love that.
I mean, it's
I love that they're playing footsie with mask mandates. He's right, by the way, which is why I said we need a mask on the southern border. Now, I know what you're thinking. Rich, come on. A mask on the southern border is not going to keep people out. True, but it's also not going to keep out the virus, apparently. At least that's what Fauci said in February of 2020. Remember when he said, Sylvia, the virus particles, they're too small to be kept out with a mask? So my mask at the border would be about as effective as a mask is in keeping out COVID-19, apparently. But listen to this news report from CBSN. This is part of CBS, okay? Just in case you think that maybe, you know, it's just right-wing media making stuff up about the border and just how dangerous the situation is at the border with people coming over the border and sneaking into the country and that sort of thing. Take a listen. That's right.
After an officer says an undocumented migrant family coughing at a fast food restaurant told him Border Patrol released them because they had COVID-19. Hidalgo County Judge Richard Cortez is now calling on federal immigration officials to stop releasing infected migrants into their communities.
It's very obvious that this issue with the immigration issue has escalated to a level that simply we could not manage it. The capacity, the number, the volume of people has increased to a level that we just can't manage the numbers.
The family said a charity group was paying for their room at a nearby hotel. Officers say they found out Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley had booked all the rooms at the hotel for undocumented immigrants detained by Border Patrol. La Jolla police say Border Patrol was quarantining undocumented people who were COVID positive or people who had symptoms and then handing them over to the nonprofit, who then placed them at hotels in La Jolla and the McAllen area. CBS 11 News reached out to Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley for comment and have not heard back yet.
Well, that's a shame that we haven't heard back, but I do think I got to give CBS credit for actually reporting on the story. So now let me ask you a couple questions. Number one, is Delta a variant? I know they tell us it's a variant, but is it actually a variant? That's my question. Is it actually a variant? That's question number one. Question number two, if it's not a variant, was it designed on purpose? In other words, was Delta actually also something that might have been made in a lab? How do we know it's a variant? Why are we just trusting that it is? Have you thought about this? Remember, a year ago, when somebody would have suggested to you that the virus came from a lab, that was conspiracy, crazy, tinfoil hat stuff, right? Just crazy talk. Why are you being crazy? Great question. But now we know it came from a lab. In fact, today there's a story that China is very angry at Brussels, because Brussels also wants China to answer for the lab leak theory. Well, China's saying to Brussels and Belgium and anybody else who asks, no, zip it. Don't say a word about it. But just, I got to throw this out there. All right, when everybody said the Delta variant started in India, right? It started in India, they say, and then it made its way to the UK and it made its way to the United States. And now here it is, we're dealing with Delta. Delta, 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 can I help you, help you, help you? We're dealing with Delta. But then there was this news piece about China and how China did a study of all these people that had the Delta variant and found out that their viral loads in their noses are like 1,000 times greater if you're vaccinated than unvaccinated, which is one of those big moments where you go, wait, what? Huh? How is that possible? What does that even, how does that make any sense? How does that make, how can you explain that to people? And then I thought about, even beyond that, is the other question too, which is, Well, are you telling me that the Delta variant was in China? Because that doesn't, that, I mean, how would it have gone from China to India and then back to China? How does that make sense? It doesn't make sense. If it started in China and went to India and then it turned in India, how does it get back to China with enough for China to study it? Because it's not like India and China. They've got all these people going back and forth over the border. So it brings me to a question that I have to ask today on your afternoon podcast, which is getting to you a little bit late. Fair enough. What if Delta was also made in a lab? Has anybody thought about that for a second? Why are we just trusting that it's a variant? We know they made the alpha variant in a lab. We know that, I mean, the alpha strain. But are we really sure? Preliminary data from China indicates the viral load in the nose from the Delta variant may be 1,000 times higher than previous variants. Okay? How the Delta variant upends the assumptions about the coronavirus. The Delta variant is the fastest, fittest, and most formidable. By the way, I'm all those things, too. Fastest, fittest, and most formidable host in radio. That's the truth. That is a true story. It's the most fastest, fittest, and most formidable version of the coronavirus that causes COVID-19 the world has encountered, and it's upending assumptions about the disease, even as nations loosen restrictions and open their economies. Here's what we know about the Delta variant, they say. The Delta variant, first identified in India, is capable of infecting fully vaccinated people at a greater rate than previous versions, and concerns have been raised that they may even spread the virus. As a result, targeted use of masks, blah, 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 blah. All right? So then they talk about this study in China, where they did in China, and they looked at all these people in China, and then they found out, like in Singapore, which is not China, but, you know, where Delta is the most common variant, government officials reported on Friday that 3/4 of its coronavirus cases occurred among vaccinated individuals, though none were severely ill. Now, that's kind of strange to me, isn't it? Kind of strange that this variant finds its way into the noses of the vaccinated people. A study in China found that people infected with the Delta variant carry 1,000 times more viruses in their nose compared with the original version first identified in Wuhan in 2019. You may actually excrete more virus, and that's why it's more transmissible. That's still being investigated, they say. Okay. Why are we just assuming this is a variant? I mean, really, again, this goes to the point of why we can't get into that lab and really check on things. Because what if Delta also came from the lab? I mean, here you have look, if a country wants to create a bioweapon, and if a country wants to unleash a virus on the world, it's also logical that they may have been working on other versions of it. I mean, what if they created Delta 2 in a lab? How do we know they didn't? We just don't know because we can't discuss these things and we have no evidence of anything out of the lab. So we just have to go, okay, it's a variant. Moose at the park should have told you, folks. Lab's closed. You can't look inside and find anything. But I don't know. It just seems weird to me. I mean, all of a sudden, you get this variant version that is now apparently, it evades the vaccine. We were told, remember, that if you got the vaccine, your chances of transmitting it to somebody else is very low. We were told that if you got the vaccine, your chances of transmitting it to another vaccinated person was almost like zero, remember? Now they're telling us if you're vaccinated, you've got a higher chance of transmitting it to another vaccinated person. Huh? How does that make any sense? And that vaccinated people have higher viral loads than unvaccinated people. Well, again, how does that make any sense? Unless this strain was also something that they were working on. Because if they're working on the alpha strain in the lab, why would they not also work on the strain that might be able to resist vaccines? I mean, it's just common sense, right? Hey, look, I'm not going to apologize for coming up with theories, because until China lets us into that lab to see what happened, I'll come up with as many theories as I want. You can call them crazy all you want. Fine with me. But this is the thing. The burden of proof should be on China to prove this did not come from a lab. It shouldn't be on me to prove that it did. At this point, in this point in time, and where things are today, the burden of proof should be on China. Prove that it didn't come from a lab. Do that, okay? That's what I'd like to know. By the way, President Joe Biden today was in Pennsylvania, and I don't know if you know this or not, but it turns out that President Joe Biden actually used to drive an 18-wheeler, like a giant truck. Can you believe that? I couldn't believe it either. I was actually shocked by this when I heard it today. But I thought to myself, hey, it makes perfect sense, right? The guy beat up Corn Pop, and then he runs around and he does all kinds of other cool things. So, I mean, why not the idea that maybe he even drove a big rig 18-wheeler, right?
And anyway,
and if we don't
drive an 18-wheeler, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wish.
Oh,
I
yeah.
That's awesome.
Got to.
That's right. That's right. He used to drive an 18-wheeler, man. That's right. It's after he beat up Corn Pop, you know, because Corn Pop was, in fact, a bad dude, as you know. He was indeed a bad dude. Was he not, Mr. President? You know he was.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Yeah, he was a bad dude, but you beat him up. Don't you worry about that. Don't you get upset by that. Biden says he was vice president under President Donald Trump. Did you know that, too? I didn't know that. These are the little historical nuggets of life that I wish I paid greater attention to. You know what I mean? Just the kind of things that I think I know current events, but then all of a sudden something hits me out of left field like this.
Back in 2009, during the so-called Great Recession, the president asked me to be in charge of managing that piece, then President Trump. Excuse me, Freudian slip. That was the last president. President Obama when I was vice president.
Anyway, you know, that sort of thing. By the way, why is it a Freudian slip? Do you wish that you were the vice president under President Donald Trump? Because that's usually what a Freudian slip is. It's when you say something that you wish was true and it comes from your subconscious. So is that like you deep down inside you wish you had been his vice president?
Go, you know the thing.
I'm just asking because it seems to me like that's the case, right? Like if it's a Freudian slip, Mr. President. So he was in the Lehigh Valley today of Pennsylvania. He was going on about jobs. Jobs, which is great because we love jobs. Only inflation's killing jobs, as you're going to find out when I play you a clip from the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell today talking about inflation, how inflation is not going away. Speaking of science, which I love, I do love science, even though it changes all the time, apparently. And if you said one thing about science yesterday that today is different based on the government standards, then that would be misinformation. And if it changes again tomorrow, then it's misinformation information, apparently. They just keep changing the rules here. Speaker Pelosi responding to Kevin McCarthy on her new mask mandate order.
Leader McCarthy says it's against the science.
He's such a moron. That's what she called he's such a moron, she says. She said, what a pleasant sweetheart, isn't she, though? I'll tell you what, she really is. Now, what about schools reopening? Because of the Delta, can I help you variant? And again, I got asked the question, what if it's not a variant? Call on me. Look, I know viruses mutate. I understand that. I know there are variants. But doesn't seem at all just a little bit strange to you that this variant in particular seems to infect vaccinated people with higher viral loads than unvaccinated people and can spread from the vaccinated to the vaccinated? And that maybe the government might know more than they're letting on? I'm throwing it out there because until China lets us into that lab to have a look around it, nothing we'll be able to find because they destroyed everything. We can come up with whatever theories we want. I'm not afraid to ask these questions. I was asking these questions back in March of 2020, and you know back then, I even said, and we were out, me and some friends, we were out to dinner, and I said, you know, if this was a bioweapon, boy, it would be a very effective one because it doesn't kill a lot of people. I mean, I don't want to take away from a single death, but in terms of like Ebola or anthrax, but boy, is it effective at bringing economies to its knees, to their knees, right? But what if, again, in the lab, they also made the Delta variant right next to the Alpha variant? Why are we just assuming it's a variant? The whole thing about it going from China to India and then back to China, see, that doesn't make any sense. Where in the world is Carmen Santiago when you need her? Here's Randy Weingarten, the head of the teachers union. Do you want to guess if we're going to be back in school? If kids will be back in the classroom because Delta? Do you want to guess? What do you think your guess is? What does your gut tell you? Let's see what Randy Weingarten had to say today.
Has really thrown this curveball that says that while vaccination is the number one gold standard, that we need to, you know, bring back our masks for schools. So the bottom line is we're going to keep kids safe. We're going to keep our members safe. And we're going to try to open up schools, and we're going to try to move through this political battlefield.
We're going to try to open up schools. Today in New Jersey, the teachers union came out and said they believe every teacher and student should be masked up in the fall. Why? Because the children are not getting sick with COVID. We know that their rates of spreading the virus are incredibly low, but they are going to use the Delta variant as the excuse now to say, well, we don't know enough about the Delta variant, so we got to keep schools closed or keep kids in masks or keep kids masked at home and not in school. I don't really know, but it just seems to me like they're doing a lot of things here based on the Delta variant, and they're jumping to a lot of conclusions, right? Jumping to a lot of conclusions about a virus and a variant based on what? Based on what exactly? I mean, I would love to be able to believe that this is about the science, but at the same time, I keep hearing them say this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, but that vaccinated people need to wear masks because vaccinated people can give it to other vaccinated people. So that doesn't sound to me like it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I understand their argument, too, which is that if you're vaccinated, you're not going to get as sick and you're not going to die. But, and I understand case numbers, but at the same time, if that's the case, though, but the vaccinated are still spreading it to the vaccinated, then how is it a pandemic of the unvaccinated? This is just a question I've got to ask. I've got to ask this question.
Let's cut through the BS.
I agree.
This is the Rich Zeoli Podcast.
Thank you very much for that. I do appreciate that. What else is going on in the news today? Oh, is Bill Murray going to be canceled? Oh, man. Lucy Liu opens up about Bill Murray's clash on Charlie's Angels set. He hurled inexcusable and unacceptable insults at me. I really hope not. Bill Murray is a national treasure. The guy is one of the funniest guys ever. I love his movies, particularly, like, I mean, some of the old classics, right? I mean, Stripes, Caddyshack, Back of the Day, great stuff. Ghostbusters, but, I mean, there's so many. You can keep going on and on. I really hope they don't cancel him. But that's what happens now. If somebody comes out and says something, anything, you have to be canceled. So Lucy Liu comes on to say that on the set of Charlie's Angels, Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu, Bill Murray used to say things like, I get why you're here and you've got talent, but what in the hell are you doing here? You can't act. And said that about Lucy Liu. At that, Liu blew her lid and attacked Murray, wildly throwing punches. The actors had to be separated to opposite corners of the room while they lobbed verbal hand grenades at each other. That's interesting. I don't know. If, I mean, do I believe this? Do I not believe this? Do I care? Do I just, I don't don't cancel Bill Murray. That's all I'm asking. Just don't cancel Bill Murray, please. That's all I'm asking. Higher COVID rate found in some counties with higher vaccination rates. Why is that? Why is the Delta variant so particularly effective at spreading among people who have the vaccine? Doesn't it make you think that possibly? Maybe, just maybe, there's something more to this than they're letting on. I'm just saying. I'm going to throw it out there again because I got to make it really the point of the podcast today, this afternoon. I don't know. I don't trust anything. Do you? I mean, I'm really at a point now where I don't know what to trust. I just don't know what to trust anymore. I want to believe. I really do. I want to believe that the government is being honest about this pandemic. But, you know, it's like, if China really did unleash a bioweapon on the world, the last thing they'll ever do is tell us. Like, they'll tell us about Roswell and the aliens first. Because the world can't afford to know the truth about this pandemic. It just can't. We buy too much stuff from China. Everything in your house is made in China. And the world is too dependent on China. And then what do other nations around the world do? They retaliate. If India finds out that maybe the Delta variant was made particularly for targeting India, they've got nukes. How does that work out for anybody? Probably not good, right? Probably not too good, I would imagine. So again, when I bring this stuff up and I genuinely deep down inside want to get answers to this, and maybe you feel the exact same way I feel, which is that we're never going to get the truth. It's just going to always be a snow job with these guys. I don't know. I want to believe. I miss the X-Files, by the way. That was a great show. Don't you miss the X-Files? I mean, back then, all the skepticism of the stuff the government wasn't telling us, and now that we live older, you get older, you live life longer, suddenly things become, I don't know, much more clear. One thing I do know, though, is the Democrats are hell-bent. hell-bent on spending a lot of money. And the tax bill, the bill, is going to come due. They just today talked about the infrastructure bill and tons of cash being spent on that. Mitch McConnell today said the Dems' $5 trillion reconciliation package is reckless taxing and spending spree. Yeah, it is, Mitch. You know why it is? Because the Democrats are fully in charge now, and the bill will come due. Bernie Sanders is now in charge of the Democrat Party fully. And with a $5 trillion reconciliation bill coming due to a town near you, you know as well as I do that that money is something we're never going to be able to pay for. I mean, never in our lives. But how did it get this way? It got this way because so many people were stupid and believed that Joe Biden was going to be a moderate. They believed that Joe Biden was going to be a moderate. They listened. They wanted to believe that. They wanted to deep down inside. But then they forgot. Hey, you know what? People are pulling the strings of Joe Biden, and they're pulling all those strings to the left. All to the left. To the left, to the left, to the left. How about Coca-Cola? Do you drink Coca-Cola? Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton, had a hearing with the bipartisan Congressional Executive Commission on China. And Coca-Cola's global vice president for human rights, he was questioning him, Paul Lally. And Senator Cotton, who, by the way, has been just spot on from day one about the origins of this pandemic. So Senator Tom Cotton was asking the guy from Coca-Cola about China. And
your company said at the time that we will continue to stand up for what is right in Georgia and across the United States. So are we to take from your that statement at the time that Coca-Cola will not stand up for what is right outside the United States? Because that's what it sounds like this morning in this testimony.
No, Senator, we stand up for what is right across the world. We apply the same human rights principles in the United States that we do across the world.
Do you believe that the Chinese Communist Party is committing genocide against the Uyghur people?
We're aware of the reports of the State Department on this issue, as well as other departments of the U.S. government. We respect those reports. They continue to inform our program, as do reports from other civil society.
This is what I'm talking about. Under questioning from Senator Merkley and Representative McGovern and Representative Chris Smith, every single one of you refused to say a single word, by all appearances, that will cost you one bit of market share inside of mainland China. Mr. Lally, for instance, you were asked if Coca-Cola would call for the IOC to delay the Chinese Olympics, to give a chance for them to be rebid or for China to stop its genocide against its own people. And you said that Coca-Cola, quote, I think this is your exact words, quote, doesn't have a say, end quote. So can you tell me why Coca-Cola doesn't have a say in whether it sponsors the genocide Olympics next year, but it does have a say in how the state of Georgia runs its election laws?
Senator, what I stated was that we do not have a say in the selection of the host city, nor on whether an Olympics is postponed or relocated.
So you don't, but you could just make a statement. Your CEO could saddle up the same moral high horse that he got on when Georgia passed its election law and write a letter to the IOC and ask them to.
Anybody? You know what? Let me stop it there. This is such a great point. All these woke corporations in America, whether it's the NBA or it's Hollywood, Disney, Coca-Cola, Delta, on and on it goes, they're the first ones to jump up on the hashtag campaign. You notice that? Whatever the left wants them to hashtag about, hashtag bathroom equity, hashtag this, hashtag that, they fly the rainbow flags, they do all of that woke stuff, but they never, ever, ever criticize China for anything. Do you realize the kind of human rights abuses that are going on in China? And this is another reason, by the way, why social media companies do not want you posting about the lab theory about China or posting anything about the virus because it hurts China and China doesn't want them doing it and they want to take it down and they actually like the fact that the government is forcing them to take it down because they don't want China to be mad at them. I mean, here's a great opportunity for Coca-Cola to make a stand for the Uyghurs, Muslim minorities in forced concentration camps. Will they? No. They'll have a Coke and a smile and shut the
Do that.
As a state of
if he's an American citizen, that's his rights under our Constitution.
As I stated, we are most engaged on policy issues here at home, but we are clear in our respect for human rights globally.
Can you explain to me why James Quincy will not denounce a democratically elected legislature's laws, but he will not simply say that the IOC should consider rebidding its Olympics or that Coca-Cola should consider sponsoring the genocide Olympics? What's the difference there?
The Genocide Olympics.
Our role as a sponsor is to support and follow the athletes.
So you're sponsoring the Genocide Olympics. You are spending millions of dollars to sponsor the Genocide Olympics, yet you will not opine on any matter about it, yet you will stick your nose in the Georgia legislature's election reform laws. Can you explain to me the contrast?
First, let me say that we did not make decisions on these host locations. We support and follow the athletes wherever they compete.
Yeah, no, I've heard your talking points, and I'm tired of hearing them, Mr. Lawley. I'm asking you a simple question. Why is it that Coca-Cola will opine on Georgia's election laws?
They'll pull out of Georgia. They'll leave the state. They'll stop working in different places. But what they won't do is criticize China. I mean, look, I'm one of the only people, I think one of the few people that will courageously go up against China. Well, actually, most everybody in conservative media will, which is a good thing because we have courage. But when it comes to making money in life in this world, you don't want to cross China now, do you? No, you don't. 6 in 10 Americans blame Biden for 13-year high inflation, as they should, because this is his economy and he owns it. And it's a terrible, terrible thing that's happening for a lot of people out there because they can't afford basic goods. I don't know about you, but when I look at the cost of filling up my car with gasoline or just basic things that I used to spend money on, I'm just shocked at how much things are costing all of a sudden. I really am. And it's frustrating to me because I think to myself, man, if I'm in this boat, how are other people in this boat? How are they doing? And what's it going to be like for them as they're trying to get through this and recover? And if you're a small business owner, how are you doing with all this? And how long is it going to go on for? Well, today, Fed Chair Jerome Powell spoke about this and inflation. And you know what I find amazing about Jerome Powell? He actually makes Mitch McConnell seem exciting. He does. He makes Mitch, I mean, you listen to Jerome Powell, you go, man, this guy, I mean, he's rocking and riveting. I want this guy to narrate a book for me. He's just so incredibly, it's just saucy, is it not, Jerome Powell? But he is a smart guy, and he does know money, and he does know Fed policy, and he does know inflation.
The process of reopening the economy is unprecedented, as was the shutdown at the onset of the pandemic. As the reopening continues, bottlenecks, hiring difficulties, and other constraints could continue to limit how quickly supply can adjust, raising the possibility that inflation could turn out to be higher and more persistent than we expect.
Higher and more persistent than we expect.
Our new framework for monetary policy emphasizes the importance of having well-anchored inflation expectations, both to foster price stability and to enhance our ability to promote our broad-based and inclusive maximum employment goal. Indicators of long-term inflation expectations appear broadly consistent with our longer-run inflation goal of 2%. If we saw signs that the path of inflation or longer-term inflation expectations were moving materially and persistently beyond levels consistent with our goal, we'd be prepared to adjust the stance of policy. The effects of the pandemic on the economy have continued to diminish, but risks to the economic outlook remain. Progress on vaccinations has limited the spread of COVID-19. However, the pace of vaccinations has slowed, and the Delta strain of the virus is spreading quickly in some areas.
And
continued progress on vaccinations would support a return to more normal economic conditions.
Yeah, so you see there, I think that's pretty telling for what we could think about with inflation and things are going on with that. But notice how he says the Delta variant. Do you put it past any of them that they would use the Delta variant as an excuse to spend more for unemployment benefits, to extend that, to keep that going? Does anybody doubt that? Do you doubt that? I mean, they have no problem spending money. Today, Mitch McConnell was on with Larry Kudlow. And again, I told you Jerome Powell makes Mitch McConnell seem, well, sexy. Who's more riveting and more exciting, do you think, huh?
Well, I hate to disappoint you, Larry, but I'm not here either to promote or oppose this infrastructure package, which is still a work in progress. What I can say that you're wrong about is that it will be attached to what we anticipate coming next, which is the Democrats' reckless taxing and spending spree, which would be horrible for the country. I think we all agree an infrastructure package done correctly is a plus for the country. President Trump and the administration you were a part of was trying to figure a way to do that. President Obama talked about it as well. But I can tell you there will be two separate efforts here, and all Republicans are going to oppose the reckless taxing and spending spree, which amounts to at least, they claim, $3.5 trillion you claim, and you're probably more accurate, a lot more than that.
Yeah, it's got to be $5 to $5.5 trillion. Senator, the reason I...
$5 to $5.5 trillion of spending. Imagine that. And I know what you're thinking to yourself, too. You're thinking roads and bridges. All that sounds great. Well, today, Democrat Representative Jay Powell came out, and she said, look, we can't just get this done by doing roads and bridges. We got to also do climate, too. And if we don't do climate, well, you know, then we're just doing the American people a disservice. So they're going to spend a ton of cash, and a big part of that is going to be on climate change, fixing climate change, making it all go away. Remember, if you doubt the science on climate change, you're also a science denier, you're spreading misinformation, and eventually now, if you come out and criticize any of their spending on things like climate change, you will definitely, no doubt about it, be one of those people that is called spreading misinformation. I have no doubts in my life about that. Because really what it comes down to is, by keeping you silent, then they're going to be able to control policy. If you can't speak out about things, well, then they can have a better chance of getting their policy through the goal line, past the goal line. I guess I'm not good at sports analogies. I think you know what I mean by that. I think you understand exactly what I mean. Did you hear the montage of all the people asking Jen Psaki questions yesterday about masking? Have we gotten any more clarity today on the answers that, like, for example, Peter Ducey was looking for? And any more clarity on the idea of why vaccinated people have to wear masks today on this day and age? Have we gotten further to coming to those answers? I haven't heard them. And I'm wondering, maybe you have.
And on the CDC guidance, why did the president say, if you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask? Let me repeat, if you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask, if it was possible that that was going to turn out not to be true.
Well, Peter, I think we're all dealing with an evolving virus where there's no playbook and no historic precedent. And what the American people should feel confident in is that we are going to continue to be guided by science, look at public health data in order to provide new guidance if it's needed to save lives, protect the American people. When he made those comments back in May, we were dealing with a very different strain of the virus than we are today. And Delta is more transmissible. It's spreading much more quickly. It was nearly non-existent in the United States back in May.
And so my last one would be, you guys have been saying this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. If that is coming from the CDC, is the president satisfied with the leadership at the CDC right now?
The Ooh. President is satisfied with the fact that they are continuing to look at public health data and provide public health guidance to the American public about how they can protect their lives and the lives of loved ones around them.
And if it's a pandemic of the unvaccinated still, then why do vaccinated people need to put the masks back on?
Well, Peter, first of all, I would say again, just to go back
yes.
to this chart, which
you haven't,
I will
still haven't answered.
Point to again.
She's back
if
to the chart.
If you were vaccinated.
Okay, so let me ask, let me just cut through the BS here. Today, the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, came out and said, Rochelle, the coronavirus could be just a few mutations away from evading vaccines, okay? Could be just a few mutations away from evading existing COVID-19 vaccines. Quote, these vaccines operate really well in protecting us from severe disease and death, but the big concern is that the next variant that might emerge, just a few mutations potentially away, could potentially evade our vaccines. Isn't that kind of what's happening now? I mean, if vaccinated people can spread it to other vaccinated people, isn't it kind of evading our vaccines? You notice how the new standard has become now that, well, if you're vaccinated, you won't get really sick and die from it. Okay, great. But there's another aspect of this, too, which is that if you're going to then use the metric numbers, then you're going to do something else. You may not kill people with this strain, but you may kill economies. You may kill kids' mental health. See, they're not being consistent again, because what they're doing is they're lying. They're saying, well, vaccinated people can spread this to other vaccinated people. However, they won't get sick and die from it. But we're going to use those numbers regardless and make big policy decisions for America, like whether or not kids should be in school, like whether or not people should be in masks, like whether or not businesses will be open. Will we soon be back to the choosing what's essential and what's not essential? Is that what's going to happen? Because that's what I want to know. This is the game that they play, and they play this game all the time. It's got to be one or the other. I mean, here they go on and say this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's what's going on right now. But vaccinated people can spread it to vaccinated people, but they won't get really sick and die. Nevertheless, we're going to now what? Shut down the economy? Keep kids home? What are we going to do is my question. Here's the other question I have, too. As the CDC says that we're only a mutation away from something that can't beat the vaccine, does she mean, or something the vaccine can't beat, does she mean then that people will die from that strain or just get sick from that strain? Because apparently that's happening now. People are getting sick from that strain. We're making decisions based on numbers and not on hospitalizations and not on death. And this is the problem. Randy Weingarten today refusing to say whether or not kids are going to be in school proves to you exactly what I mean. When Randy Weingarten said today she can't say for sure whether or not schools will be open in the fall, let me play it again for you just in case you missed it,
has really thrown this curveball that says that, well, vaccination is the number one gold standard, that we need to, you know, bring back our masks for schools. So the bottom line is we're going to keep kids safe. We're going to keep our members safe. And we're going to try to open up schools. And we're going to try to move through this political battlefield.
Yeah, we can't say for sure how that works. Isn't that something? We can't say for sure. But again, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and yet vaccinated people are spreading it to vaccinated people, and yet we're going to make decisions based on society, on that fact, even though they keep saying get vaccinated because then you won't get sick and die from the variant, but we'll still do things and act accordingly like as if you could, like make you wear masks, potentially keep the kids home from school. And what else? What else is coming? I'll give you a couple of little nuggets from some decisions that were made today around the country. California is considering drastic actions, potentially another lockdown. You know why? Because California's got a major problem for two reasons. Number one, they got a lot of crunchy people out there that don't like vaccines. Number two, they also have a gigantic illegal immigration problem. No doubt about that. In Texas, where they have and also a major immigration problem, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, is coming out and saying he's going to use the National Guard to secure his border because he's not going to allow his people to get sick because of all the illegal immigrants coming over the border bringing COVID. He's not going to let it happen, bringing you back to what I started today's podcast with, even though it's very, very late because of all the technical difficulties I had. Restaurants are now saying no vaccine, no service. That's their right. That's fine. Israel has now approved a third shot for coronavirus, the vaccine. Is this what we're going to have to do? The Israeli Health Ministry panel today recommending a third COVID shot for older people. Is that what's next for us? I wonder. Man, I hope they don't cancel Bill Murray. How about you? Or do you just not care anymore? I mean, that's always possible. You may just not care anymore. I don't know. It's always a possibility. I guess you can say that. But man, I do love Bill Murray's movies. I'm always amazed, too, at some of the older movies they still have on TV right now, even though a lot of them come with warning labels. But I saw the other day Animal House came up in my recommendations because I love it. I just can't believe that they still have that on television. And they still actually allow that movie to be shown. It's amazing to me. It's the political correctness is driving you crazy in America. It really is driving me crazy. And you know what's really driving me crazy is the fact that when I come out and say something like, my kids will not be in face masks next year, people look at me like I'm a bad parent. I'm not a bad parent. I don't want my kids in a face mask. It's not fair to them. I like what Governor Ron DeSantis said when he said our kids will breathe. And that's why I tweeted out earlier today. I think that what's going to happen is I may have to move my family to Florida. I don't know what that means for my job, but I can't imagine my kids having to sit another year in school wearing a face mask. I really just can't. I can't imagine putting kids through that again. It's not fair for them. It's just not fair to do for these kids. Even though the virus rates for kids are so incredibly low, and no matter even if they're in an area where there's a lot of people who are vaccinated around them, what the CDC director said about kids should be wearing masks back in school, and Randy Weingarten's hedge a teachers union on that, means that most likely, most governors, at least in blue states, are going to then make our kids be in masks. Why, though? Has anything changed with regards to kids getting really sick of COVID? No. They don't even have any proof that the Delta variant affects our children. Do you realize that? As of April 30th, they say when there were 101 million fully vaccinated Americans, the CDC had documented 10,262 breakthrough cases, 27% of which were asymptomatic. There were 995 hospitalizations, 160 deaths. Your chances as a vaccinated American of being detected with COVID were 1 in 10,000. Being hospitalized with COVID was 1 in 102,000. Of dying with COVID, 1 in 632,000. Now, that's changed. Obviously, those numbers have gone up with the Delta variant. But you know what has not changed? Kids getting sick. In fact, even if you look at the odds of children with COVID, they've got a much higher chance of choking, of drowning, of being in a traffic accident, of stepping on a Lego and freaking out and then doing something really, really dangerous. You are dealing with children right now who are at their most vulnerable age, who need the socialization, need to be back in the classroom. And the CDC is putting out BS guidance that means nothing. And yet we're all supposed to run around and go, okay, it's the science. Nobody has yet to come out and tell me exactly why my 6-year-old and my 4-year-old need to wear a mask. Nobody. But the CDC says it, so therefore it must be true. They don't even have to prove anything. You notice that? Has the CDC come out and given us any data that would back up their claim that kids should be in masks next year in school? Have you heard it? I haven't heard it. Well, you think we'll see it tomorrow? No, not so much. All right. Listen, thank you for being here today for the podcast. I appreciate it. Again, sorry it was late, but hey, listen, this is what happens when you get a high quality podcast and you pay absolutely nothing for it. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning. Please subscribe to the podcast, like the podcast, tell a friend, and I don't want to hear you complain because it was late. Really, I don't want to hear it. Have a great rest of your night. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.